You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Monday, July 5th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and hoping you had a good holiday weekend. You probably had a better holiday weekend if you didn't watch a lot of Orioles baseball, because despite the fact that the Orioles actually didn't play bad this weekend at all in Anaheim, they did get swept by the Angels in the three-game weekend series. And coming up on today's episode of the podcast, we are going to recap that three-game series for the Orioles and give the three big takeaways from the weekend as the O's lost three close games, including they were walked off on twice over the weekend, some really crushing losses in this one. But we'll give the three big takeaways having to do with one breakout infielder for the Orioles over the past week and especially this weekend. We'll talk about the starting pitching and talk about somebody's got to step up for this rotation. And then we'll talk about, once again, Cedric Mullins, as he did some more great things and was officially named an All-Star on Sunday. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is Locked On MLB Prospects. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So for the Orioles over the weekend, it was three more losses as it ended up in a very interesting week of baseball. They go into Houston, sweep the Astros. They go into Anaheim and get swept by the Angels. The three losses, they fall 8-7 in walk-off fashion on Friday night. They lose 4-1 on Saturday night. Then the Sunday day game on the 4th of July, they lose 6-5 in walk-off fashion. Orioles now 27-57 through 84 games, more than halfway through now this 2021 Major League Baseball season. So, going to get you the three big takeaways from the weekend, and we start with the positive side for the Orioles, because despite the three losses and getting swept and having to watch Shohei Ohtani just destroy the baseball against the Orioles like he has done to pretty much every team this season so far, one of the big positives for the Orioles on the weekend was Ramon Urias. And the first big takeaway is that Ramon Urias has quietly been really hot since he was called back up last weekend. And frankly, he's been pretty solid really since the Orioles acquired him off waivers from the Cardinals before the 2020 season. Now, you look at the weekend for Ramon Urias, and it was a good one for the Orioles infielder. He ended up with a really solid weekend at the plate. He was 5-for-10 at the dish as he started all three games for the Orioles, with Michael Franco still dealing with a little bit of a foot issue. He's not going on the IL, but he did not play in any of the three games in Anaheim after he hurt that ankle on the last play of the game in Game 3 Wednesday night in Houston. So that meant that Urias, Leyba, and Valleca, that was basically, you know, your infield all weekend. And Urias took advantage of that situation. You know, he had the 5-for-10. Now, it was four singles and one double, but, you know, the one double did come with an RBI on Sunday. He also did walk once. That was in the Sunday game, and he only struck out once. So, you know, a really good weekend for Ramon Urias. And, you know, you look pretty much through his entire week as, you know, he was recalled last Sunday, June 27th, after the Orioles, you know, made some infielder moves. Urias was one of them. So he has been up and got the start in that game last Sunday in Buffalo against the Blue Jays. And Urias has now started every game. He started all seven games since he was recalled by the Orioles. He has a hit in every one of those games except for Game 3 in Houston, where he went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. But other than that, he has been dynamite. In that seven-game stretch, he is now 9-for-25, which is good for a .360 batting average in that time for Urias. He has, you know, done a pretty nice job. I mean, four of those nine hits have been extra base hits, three doubles, and he had that two-run homer off the position player in Houston on Tuesday night. But, you know, he's done pretty well, and, you know, he's driven in five runs in that stretch as well. And the other good thing for him is that the strikeouts have been pretty down. You know, he's only had three strikeouts in that stretch in these seven games. And, you know, he's not going to walk a whole lot, and we know that. But, you know, he's been good, and he is, swinging the bat and, you know, swinging it pretty well at this point. I mean, Urias was hitting fifth in the lineup in the Sunday game. And, you know, he had another nice day. You know, he had back-to-back two-hit games over the weekend. It was another two-hit game for him on Sunday, you know. And really what he's doing right now as well is he is basically the Orioles shortstop as they wait for Freddy Galvis to come back. And we don't know when Freddy's going to be back. I mean, Brandon Hyde said that injury is going to be a month to 2 months, and it could be a while. And, you know, the big issue for the Orioles with Galvis out, it wasn't, you know, infield options specifically, because, you know, they had Pat Falaka already there. He can play a little shortstop. They had Stevie Wilkerson. You know, he did get DFA'd, but nobody picked him up. So he is back and sticking in the organization. He's back in AAA Norfolk. You know, they had Domingo Leyba, who they had claimed. Of course, they had Ramon Urias, you know, all guys on the 40-man roster. Jemai Jones hasn't gotten the call-up yet, but he's, of course, raking in AAA Norfolk. They just claimed Kelvin Gutierrez from the Royals, another infielder who we're going to talk about later this week on the pod. So they had a lot of options, but, you know, especially among guys on the 40-man roster. But the issue was, you know, really the only two guys who can play shortstop out of those options are, you know, Leyba, Urias, and Valleca. So three guys. But the issue is Valleca has played a lot of shortstop over the last 2 years for the Orioles, and it has not gone well. If you have him in the field, you want him at second base because shortstop does not look good. And for Leyba, you know, he's just not a lot of experience. And, you know, the Orioles brought him over, I think, to be more of a second and third base guy, and he hasn't played really a lot of shortstop at all at the major league level. But the thing for Urias is he does have that experience, and so he's really kind of fallen into this best option by far to fill in for Galvis at shortstop, unless the Orioles make another move, or if they were to potentially, you know, call up Mason McCoy and add him to the 40-man roster. You know, he's been playing pretty well as a true shortstop in AAA Norfolk, but he's not on the 40-man, so they'd have to make a move there. And of course, your other best option would have been Richie Martin, but he is still out with that broken wrist, so they don't even have Martin to go to at this point. So Urias, you know, is just the best option there. But if Urias is going to hit like this, and, you know, he is now up to a 280 average and an 817 OPS on the season. Now, again, for Urias, this isn't a huge sample size. You know, he was with the Orioles for the entire month of April, you know, made the team out of spring training. Then he played the first half of May before being sent down. And then he really just came back up here in June as well, at the end of June and July. So he hasn't been up for the whole season. And again, you know, he's only got 93 plate appearances now at this point, but still those are great numbers. And if he's going to play that way, and he plays a pretty solid defensive shortstop as well, this is going to be a good fill-in for, you know, Freddy Galvis until he gets back. And, you know, maybe if it's not going well, the Orioles hoping Richie Martin, he's probably going to be back before the season's over. Maybe they'd have to go to Mason McCoy. Again, Galvis isn't out for the season. He should be back, you know, they hope for at least, at the very least, the full month of September to be back at shortstop for the O's. But, you know, if Urias is going to hit like this, look like this at short, I just pencil him into shortstop every day. And then between the Leybas, the Vallecas, when Franco's back, you know, maybe the Wilkersons and you know, Jemai Jones and Gutierrez and whoever it may be, you figure out second and third. But if this is what Urias looks like, put him in at short every single day with Galvis out. Coming up next, though, we're going to flip to a little more negative side of the weekend. Orioles did not get good starting pitching this weekend at all, and really, they had a chance to win all three games in Anaheim, but, you know, they were just in some deficits early in these games, and even when they weren't in deficits, even when they had early leads, they were gone shortly because of some tough starting pitching. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about the three starts this weekend, and, you know, if the Orioles maybe will make any moves in that rotation, and who, if anyone, will step up in this Orioles rotation as they continue to wait for John Means and Bruce Zimmerman to return. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get back to our Orioles weekend series recap in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we've got the baseball season in full swing. You can track all the action over at betonline.ag. Hey, maybe you want to play some bets about the home run derby with Trey Mancini in it, or the All-Star game with Cedric Mullins in it next week. You can do it all at betonline.ag. You can get all the latest news and odds for all your sporting needs, not just baseball, but also how about the NBA and the NHL? Got the Stanley Cup Finals potentially ending tonight if the Lightning can win and get back-to-back championships. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, the NBA Finals starting between the Suns and the Bucks. So before the next pitch, puck drop, or tip-off, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. And while you're there, make sure to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So while Ramon Urias was definitely a high point of the weekend for the Orioles, one of the low points was the starting pitchers. And, you know, we know this was not, you know, the best part of the Orioles rotation. But right now, you know, with John Means out, and again, you know, we have some good news on John Means. He did make his first rehab start on Sunday, so he's making his way back. He pitched two innings, allowing a run on a hit, a couple of strikeouts at High A Aberdeen on Sunday. So he said he'll probably make one start at Bowie, one start at Norfolk before he gets back to Baltimore. So you kind of space those out. You know, probably 4 to 5 days in between them. And you're looking at, you know, we're about at this point, maybe I'd say 2 weeks from John Means pitching in an Orioles uniform. And we still haven't heard much on Bruce Zimmerman either. And those were really the Orioles' best two starters, and they're still on the injured list. So at this point, you know, there's not a lot of great options for the Orioles. And the other thing is nobody's really stepping up. And, you know, we go to Friday to start, you know, a game where the Orioles, you know, really broke out offensively early in this game. Trey Mancini hits a rocket home run in the first to put the O's up 1-0. Domingo Leyba hits his first career homer in the second. The Orioles go up 2-0. And then, boom, you know, Keegan Aiken is on the hill. He puts up a scoreless first, and then, boom, he gives up two in the second. Right back to it. It's a 2-2 game. And then the Orioles explode in the third. They get 4 runs. You know, Santander has himself a bases-clearing double to make it a 5-2 game. You know, the Orioles get some big hits. Pedro Severino with an RBI double makes it 6-2. Back comes Aiken, and, you know, he can't even, you know, barely get out of the third inning. Gives up 2 more runs, had to get a huge double play just to get himself out of the third. And he'd already been hit around so much through 3 innings, that was the end of his day. Aiken ends up going just 3 innings, allowing 4 runs on 7 hits, 3 Ks, a walk, and 2 home runs allowed on Friday through 64 pitches, and his ERA now up to 7.46 on the season. And Aiken just wasn't that good. You know, he threw about 47% fastballs. He threw 30 of them. Then he threw 18 changeups. That was the thing. You know, the changeup was really his best pitch. 4 of his 6 whiffs came from the changeup. He had a 39% CSW on that pitch. But it was kind of hanging in the middle of the plate sometimes. He just didn't go to it enough. And you watch Keegan Aiken, and the real issue with him, it seems like, you know, he's had some good starts this year. And obviously he had some good starts in 2020, but he's kind of having the same trajectory as Dean Kramer right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, when Means or Zimmerman comes back, Aiken finds himself right back at AAA trying to work through some things. I mean, he wasn't throwing enough strikes. You know, even though he only walked one guy on Friday, just the command was not there, and he just doesn't have that put-away pitch. You know, I tweeted this out from the podcast account on Friday during Aiken's start, is that, you know, Kramer and Aiken, they came up around the same time in 2020. You know, they're around the same age, and, you know, they've had similar career paths so far where, you know, they had a good start, and then they've hit a little bit of a rocky patch here in 2021. But I feel like the difference is, I feel like the repertoire for Dean Kramer, you know, it still has strikeout stuff. He has multiple pitches he can go to. He feels good about it. For Keegan Aiken, I know he's a four-pitch pitcher, but, you know, he rarely throws the curveball, so you're really going to see fastball, changeup, slider. And that slider isn't a big, sweeping strikeout slider. You know, most of the time he's throwing it for a strike, and, you know, he throws that fastball so much, and it's not a huge swing-and-miss pitch. He just doesn't really have that put-away pitch that I feel like Dean Kramer has, and I think that's what separates these two. And so for Aiken, you know, it's another short start. He's been, even when he's pitched well, you know, you think of his best start this season, it was 5 scoreless innings, and he couldn't get much further than that. Even when he's pitched well, you know, he can't get deep into these games, and he's kind of teetering on whether or not he deserves to be in this rotation at this point. Then you move to Saturday, and, you know, this was a lower scoring game, the game the Orioles lost 4-1, but Jorge Lopez goes out there and, you know, just wasn't good to start. I mean, you know, he loads the bases with nobody out in the bottom of the first inning in a 0-0 game, gives up an RBI single, then an RBI force out. You know, he gets out of it, just giving up two, gets a big double play, but it's already 2-0 after one, you know, and Lopez comes right back out there in the second, gives up another run. You know, it's already 3-0, and the Orioles offense, you know, is already playing out of a hole at that point in the game. You know, Pat Falaka did drive in a run on a grounder to make it 3-1 the top of the third, and that was, of course, the only run the Orioles would score. But for Jorge Lopez, you know, he gives up another run in the fifth, couldn't get out of the fifth, and again, just didn't pitch deep. You know, he goes 4 2/3. He gives up 4 runs on 7 hits, 4 Ks and 4 walks for Jorge Lopez, 88 pitches in the 4 2/3 innings, and he was just, I mean, it was tough for him to really get through that game. And, you know, the issue for Jorge Lopez really as well was, you know, five whiffs on 88 pitches, a lot of balls in play, and a lot of balls were hit harder than usual. And again, you know, he actually had good command of the curveball. He dropped it in for 7 called strikes out of 20 times he threw it. That's pretty good on that pitch, but, you know, he's just getting hit around as well. And, you know, he just needs to get deeper into the games. And now, you know, the Orioles bullpen did a nice job of you know, keeping it close, keeping it where it was. They got 2 scoreless from Adam Pletko and an inning and a third scoreless from Isaac Mattson. They only had to use 2 relievers in the Saturday game, but nobody stepped up. And then you get to Sunday, and once again, it's just too short of a start from an Orioles pitcher. You get Thomas Eshelman out there, and, you know, again, immediately, you are just in a hole. You know, Eshelman gives up a leadoff double to the first batter, David Fletcher. Now, credit to him, he did strike out Shohei Ohtani, but, you know, there's an RBI double from, you know, Jared Walsh. There's an RBI single from Anthony Rendon. And immediately, it's 2-0 Angels again in the first inning. And, you know, the Orioles have a tough enough time. They can't be getting these early deficits. Boom, you get to the third inning. Once again, you know, you have the runs coming across. Shohei Ohtani gets him back with the homer. Of course, he had 3 on the weekend. You had Phil Gosselin driving in a run, and it's 4-0 after 3. And, you know, credit to the Orioles for coming back in this game. You know, they get the big 4-run 6th to tie the game. But, you know, that's all your energy in the 6th inning. And then you look up and you're, wow, we had this big inning and it's only tied. And there's, you know, a lot more baseball to play. And again, you know, for Eshelman, 4 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, okay, no walks, 2 home runs. He only threw 54 pitches. You know, as far as pitch count goes, he had a lot more time to stay in that game, but he just wasn't effective. And again, shout out to the Oriole bullpen. You know, most of it, Lowther scoreless inning, Wells scoreless inning, Tanner Scott inning in 2/3. Obviously, Cole Sulcer at the end allows the 2 runs and the Orioles get walked off on in the 9th, but the bullpen had to really save the Orioles at times this weekend, and the starters just got to get deeper into games. And, you know, one of the guys I just mentioned was Zach Lowther, who, you know, was recalled earlier in the weekend, and he did a nice job. You know, he pitched a scoreless 5th inning in a 4-0 game, you know, and ended up being a pretty low leverage spot. You know, he comes in there. It was a really great inning, to be honest with you. He comes in there, you know, he strikes out Shohei Ohtani, he strikes out Jared Walsh, and you know, he gets himself a scoreless inning with a walk and 2 Ks in the 5th. And the thought really was that Zach Lowther would kind of probably, you know, roll out a few innings, 2 to 3 innings in that game. But the Orioles, you know, right after that, they score their 4 in the 6th. And then Brandon Hyde's like, oh, let me go to my high leverage guys. And, you know, he goes to Wells, Scott, and Sulcer because the game was close. But, you know, for Lowther, it was a different look for Zach Lowther. You know, he was throwing the ball pretty well. He was up around, you know, 94 with the fastball. You know, he was 92 to 94. He got 4 whiffs on that curveball. Only threw the curveball 8 times, and he got 4 whiffs and 1 called strike. That pitch looked amazing on the day. And, you know, for Zach Lowther, that's a good thing. And, you know, my thing is really bringing up all these starters is, maybe Zach Lowther deserves his shot. Again, I know he's gotten his 1 shot to start. It didn't go well. He gave up, you know, 5 or 6 runs over an inning and 2/3 against Boston a couple of months ago in his only start so far. And, you know, we haven't seen Alex Wells get his start. He got a couple of relief appearances before the Orioles sent him back down late in the week. But maybe these guys just need a chance to step up. Because I think the way Lowther looked, I would give him another shot. And, you know, the way Wells looked, I would give him a shot to start. And even a guy like Spencer Watkins, who, you know, had a great, great moment and, you know, makes his major league debut this weekend for the Orioles out of the bullpen in the Friday game, pitches a scoreless inning for the Orioles out of the bullpen. Even a guy like that, you know, he's got a lot of starting experience in the minors. Maybe give him a shot to start. You know, Eshelman, you know, has had his moments. Aiken's had his moments. We know Jorge Lopez has had his moments. And, you know, Matt Harvey is starting to pitch a little bit better over the last couple of starts after a dreadful stretch. But maybe give these guys a chance. You know, if you're going to put all these starter types on the roster and in the bullpen, give them a chance to start as well. At some point, maybe they let Tyler Wells start. He's been dominant. We know that. You know, maybe Adam Pletko gets a chance to start. We know, again, he's done it once and it didn't go well, but that was just as an opener. Tell him he's a starter. Maybe give him a shot. You know, I just feel like until they get Means and Zimmerman back, somebody's got to step up. And maybe if these guys get these chances, maybe like a Zach Lowther, maybe they will step up and help the Orioles before really their best starters return from the injured list. But before we finish up in this one, we'll get back to the positive. And the positive thing is that Cedric Mullins was named the Orioles' 1 and only All-Star on Sunday with the All-Star rosters coming out. We are still awaiting. We'll find out later this week if he will be a starter and will be replacing the injured Mike Trout. But Mullins, after kind of a quiet weekend, had a big day off the bench on Sunday and just wanted to talk about, you know, with our third and final takeaway, how good he's been and how good he can be even when he's not having a great weekend, and how cool it is to see him in the All-Star game. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get back to our third and final takeaway from the Orioles weekend in just a second. But first, got to tell you about Built Bar. And there's a limited time flavor coming to Built Bar. Built Grasshopper Cookie. It's available this week only, July 6th through the 9th. You can get that new Built Bar flavor. Again, Grasshopper Cookie. What does it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint cookie. All the flavor without all the sugar. It's got just 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. But, you know, maybe you want to try that one. Maybe you want to get some other ones. Well, Built Bar has a lot of delicious flavors, including Cherry Barcia, Double Chocolate, Strawberry, Orange, my personal favorite, Peanut Butter Brownie, and many, many more. Now, if you don't know what your favorite is yet, you could get a mixed box. They'll send you 2 of each of the 9 flavors, and then you can really choose which is your favorite Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com, order today, get that grasshopper cookie or the raspberry or whatever you might like. And go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So as we talked about, it wasn't a great weekend for Orioles starting pitching. Really, up until Sunday, it wasn't a fantastic weekend for Cedric Mullins. You know, he had an 0 for 5 in the game on Friday. He follows that up with an 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts in the game on Saturday. And, you know, really on Saturday, that was a big reason why the Orioles only had one run. You know, they didn't get Cedric Mullins on base at all. That's going to hurt. And so he goes into Sunday, and Brandon Hyde, you know, gives him the day off in the Sunday game. And, you know, he's played all but one game this year, so you're thinking he deserves this day off. Orioles have a day off Monday. He'll be rested to play in every game up until the All-Star break. And, you know, for Mullins, great day for him. He gets told before the game on Sunday that he was officially named to the AL All-Star team as the Orioles' only All-Star representative. Again, you know, we are still waiting. You know, will he be the starter? He was not voted a starter, but Mike Trout, who was, will not be healthy to play in the All-Star game. He's still injured. And apparently among the player vote, Cedric Mullins had more votes than any AL outfielder, not just any non-starter, any AL outfielder. Nobody got more votes from the players than Cedric Mullins. That tells you a lot about what the other guys in the game think about him. But, you know, he gets the day off, and Brandon Hyde, you know, he knows he's 0 for 9. Maybe he feels like he needs just a little day off, but he finds a spot where, you know, they could use Cedric Mullins. The Orioles had, you know, were down 4-0 going into the 6th on Sunday, and they had scored 3 runs. They put together a really nice rally in the inning against Patrick Sandoval, who they got out of the game, the Angels starter, and then against Aaron Slagers as well, who wasn't his usual solid self. And, you know, it was a 6-3 game. The Orioles had a runner on third with 2 outs, and Austin Wins was coming to the dish, and in steps Cedric Mullins. You know, the Orioles go with the pinch hitter for Mullins in the top of the 6th inning for Wins. And as you figured it would, it pays off. He dumps a little bloop single into left field, an RBI single to tie the game at 4. It was hit number 100 for Mullins on the season, which, of course, leads the American League. And, you know, it worked out. The Orioles keep him in the game. You know, they do a little bit of offensive and defensive shuffling to keep him in the game. And then back comes Mullins, top of the 9th inning, 1 out. It's a 4-4 tie game. You know, he's going up against the Angels closer, Raisel Iglesias, who has been just red hot over the last month and a half, basically getting everybody out for the Angels. And 3-2 fastball, Mullins turns on it and hits it out to right center field for his 15th home run. And the solo shot that gave the Orioles a 5-4 lead in the top of the 9th. Now, we know how it went after that. Cole Sulcer came in at the bottom of the 9th and did not record an out. He went walk, single, single, walk-off, 2-run double, and the Angels won it 6-5 on the walk-off hit from Juan Lagares. But, you know, back to the Cedric Mullins part, you know, he gets the single and the home run after thinking he'd get the day off, comes off the bench, and does it for the Orioles as well. And it just, you know, makes you realize once again just how great he's been this season. You know, he goes into this point 1 week from the All-Star break, being named an All-Star, a .318 average now for Cedric Mullins after the 2-for-2 day, a .932 OPS for the Orioles center fielder. He's got, you know, 15 home runs now on the season. He's now driven in 32 runs on the year as well. And it's just been fantastic to watch Cedric Mullins do this. You know, after the 2019 that he had, you know, was ended up in, you know, had 6 hits on the year, then ended up in double A at the end of the season. The 2020 he had, where he was terrible at the beginning of the year, had to go to the alternate side, came back and was solid, but, you know, was getting on with a lot of bunt hits. this year, you know, changing to just going left-handed, and all of a sudden, you know, the hot start, then he cooled off just a little bit, you know, right around May, and then turn the brakes back on and have an amazing June, and, you know, continue this into July. It's just fantastic. And again, you know, we know where he ranks, you know, either first or second in pretty much every offensive category among American League outfielders. He deserves to be the starter for the American League in center field, you know, in that All-Star game. And it perfectly suits him because, you know, the other two outfielders are, you know, Teoscar Hernandez and Aaron Judge. You know, neither of those guys play center. You know, really Judge plays right and Hernandez plays left. So with Mike Trout not out there, perfectly, you slot Cedric Mullins in center field. To be honest with you, you probably could make a good case to bat him leadoff in the American League lineup and to face Jacob DeGrom to open the All-Star game in Denver. That would be Cedric Mullins stepping to the plate to open the All-Star game if he hit leadoff against most likely Jacob DeGrom. What a cool moment that would be for him. And he deserves it. You know, he's been fantastic this year. The other thing, he's got 15 stolen bases. He's got a .383 on-base percentage. It's just been incredible. And, you know, that's really the thing and the takeaway from the weekend is that, you know, obviously this kind of sounds like a takeaway from the whole year, but he has an 0-for-9 in those first two games. He was basically a non-factor for the Orioles offensively. He has to come off the bench in the third game, doesn't even get the start, and just delivers with the RBI single, delivers with the go-ahead homer. And, you know, it should have been an awesome moment for Mullins, who hits the go-ahead homer and ends up being the winning homer. It didn't work out for the Orioles. Saucer blows the save, the Orioles lose, and the Angels sweep the series. But still, it's still a cool moment for Cedric, and that's the thing. You know, you can't let the Orioles' bad record and a lot of their losing diminish what Mullins has done all season. And it's just getting cooler and cooler as, you know, we're more than halfway through the season. We're now at 84 games through the season, and he continues to just be incredible and just enjoy what you're watching from Cedric Mullins. And obviously the hope is he can continue to do this year after year, and the Orioles can extend him, and he's the center fielder on the next good Orioles team a couple of years down the road. And we can think about all that all we want, but right now just enjoy how good he is, because we know the Orioles haven't had a lot of players have, you know, really good seasons. And, you know, we thought we were being treated to an All-Star and a Cy Young candidate in John Means. And, you know, he's been out for more than a month now. And we're going to get him back soon, but he's not going to be in the All-Star game because of the injury. And, you know, he's probably not going to be able to even, you know, be in the Cy Young conversation because he missed so much time. But you have a guy like Trey Mancini, who was so hot early, and he's going to be in the Home Run Derby, and he's been a great story. But he did cool off for a while and, you know, didn't get himself into All-Star numbers. And you've had these little, you know, bits and pieces where guys have gotten hot. You know, Paul Fry, nice little breakout season. Ramon Arias, you know, pitching well lately. You know, all these different guys having little stretches. But for Mullins, it's been this way all season. Just enjoy it. It's been great, and it's going to continue to be great. He just needs to be a starter in the All-Star game. It's going to be a failure, really, from the staff of the American League and from Kevin Cash as well, who's going to help make this decision, who's going to manage the American League because, of course, the Rays were in the World Series representing the AL in 2020. It's going to be a failure on his part, his staff's part, and a lot of people's fault if Mullins is not a starter in that All-Star game next Tuesday night. But leading up to that game, we're going to have a whole lot of content here on the Locked On Orioles podcast. Going to have a lot of content this week because not only does the All-Star game next week, got the Home Run Derby next Monday night with Trey Mancini in it. Also, next Sunday, we've got the Futures game. A couple of Orioles, Adley Rutschman and then Marcos Diplan, a right-hander who is currently pitching very well out of the Norfolk bullpen, will both be in the Futures game on Sunday. You got Mancini in the Derby on Monday. Mullins in the All-Star game Tuesday. Should be a great week. And also the MLB draft is next week, Monday through Wednesday. The first round of the draft, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Sunday night. And then, you know, you've got rounds 2 through 5, I believe, on Monday. And then 6 through 20 on Tuesday. But you've got the draft going on. We're going to have all this content coming up this week. And actually, on tomorrow's episode, we are going to talk MLB draft. Joe Doyle, who covers the draft over at Prospects Live, is going to join the podcast to talk about everything the Orioles could do, specifically in the first round. They have the number 5 overall pick this year. A name we've heard a lot, high school shortstop Khalil Watson. We'll talk a lot about him and if he could be the Orioles pick. And then we'll talk about all the other potential scenarios for the Orioles. Could they take another catcher like Louisville's Henry Davis, who has had a fantastic college season? If Kumar Rocker is there, would the Orioles take him, the righty from Vanderbilt? There's a lot of other shortstops could they take. Maybe they take a little bit of a lesser-known guy like outfielder Colton Cowser out of Sam Houston State. So many options. We're going to talk about them with Joe Doyle coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.